Again, we're doing the survey through the Bible, and we've already talked about, of course, beginning with Adam and Eve, and then on through the flood and the Tower of Babel and dividing of the languages, and also the dividing of the continents, which is pretty significant in history, and on now to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. Now Jacob is grown. He has stolen the birthright, or purchased the birthright. Now he has stolen the blessing. And his mother thought it best if Jacob would leave town. You need to get out of here because your brother's going to kill you if you stick around. And so she said, go away for a few days. We find out that he was gone for 20 years. That's a little bit more than a few days in most of our calendars. But he was gone for 20 years. But once he got there, he got caught up in what was going on, what was happening. And, I mean, think about it. He was supposed to be gone for a few days. His mom and his dad said, go find you a good wife. Go to our people and find you a good wife. And that's the mission that he was put on to. But the reason that mission came up was to get him away from the house so his brother could calm down. And he got there. And verse number 1, Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. Out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. We go on down, and the people did know Laban, as he was looking for Laban. In verse 6, he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he's well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. He said, lo, it is high day, yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. He looked and he saw this woman coming, and he says, he wanted them to stay out of his business. Do y'all pick up that's what he was doing? There were people hanging around there with their sheep, waiting for somebody to move the stone and water theirs, and then they could move on and feed the sheep. And now here comes this family member that he's been looking for, that family, and he didn't want everybody to know his business. He said, well, y'all go ahead and water your sheep and get on. And they said, well, we can't. We've got to wait till somebody moves the stone, verse number 8, when the flocks be gathered together. Then we water the sheep. While he was yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. I want you to look at this in verse number 10. You need to have a highlighter here. It came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So he said, let's get this on. In verse 11, Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. Amen. He was excited. Tonight, guys, when you go home, kiss your wife and weep. I meant ladies, kiss your husband and weep. No. But I mean, he was excited. Oh, he was so excited. You see, God had sent him on this journey. Remember, he's already met with God. God's given him a vision and a promise. And now he's come and he's in the right place. And he finds the people. Not only is he in the right place, but they have come to him. Not only have the people come to him, but his mother sent him to find a wife. And now he sees this beautiful woman and he wants to marry her. And he is so excited. All of his dreams, all of the mission had come true right then. He was just overwhelmed. It had happened just like God intended it. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him, embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house and told Laban all these things. Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him about the space of a month. So he just stayed there. He was invited to stay there with family. And he was welcomed as family because he is family. And then we go on down to in these following verses, 13 through 19. And Laban said, son, while you're here, you need to work. Tell me what you want to make. Isn't that great to be able to write your own paycheck, name your own paycheck? I've tried that a couple of times. It didn't work. Really, every time I've been told to write my own paycheck, I always gave them a number that was outlandish because I didn't want to go to work for them. But if they'd have paid me that much, I'd have gone. Now, they, Jacob was able to name his own price. And he said, well, I tell you what, you got a beautiful daughter and I want to marry her. Laban says, if you'll work for 7 years, 7 years, I will let you marry my daughter. And Jacob said, not a problem. In fact, look at verse number 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. That's romantic, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just long for that kind of love? I mean, all you guys say, I already got that kind of love. Be easy now. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. So he's worked 7 years. Don't you know he was counting the days? I see, you know, you see in the movies and really in historical fact, you see how they mark on the wall 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And I know Jacob was marking the days. He was marking that calendar. He saw that deadline and he was looking forward to it. He wanted to marry that girl and he wanted her to be his. And so he was marking the calendar, and finally he comes in and he said, it's it. This is it. I want my wife. And it seemed but a few days. Boy, just time flew by. And it wasn't so much that he loved the work as much as he loved the reason he was working. Remember that next time you curse your job. Remember that next time you curse your labor. And I always try to remind people, I was at the grocery store or restaurant or something, and somebody said something about it, and I said, look, oh, I was at the mechanic, and I said, look, live the dream. If it's not the dream that you dreamed, then you need to go chase that dream. But don't work and be unhappy. You chose to be here. Don't be here and be miserable. You know how much they'd have to pay me to stay somewhere where I wasn't happy? I don't think they could pay me enough. Jacob knew what he was working for. It wasn't about the work. It wasn't about the occupation. It was about the reward at the end. He wanted to marry Rachel. And so he was willing to do what it took. He was willing to trade 7 years of his life just to earn the right to call her his wife. Verse 22, Laban gathered together the men of the place, made a great feast. It came to pass in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in to her. Oops. That's why I'm against veils, right there. He thought he was going in to honeymoon with Rachel, and it was the wrong daughter. The supplanter had been supplanted. The trickster had been tricked, as he had cheated his brother and fooled his father by what? By appearance. Now Laban has fooled Jacob in the same way, by appearance. And he went in there and he thought everything was going to be fine. I love verse 25. This is great. Do y'all love Genesis? This book is just remarkable. It came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done to me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we'll give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. He said, now look, let's not stir things up. You just got married. Now Leah may not be the most beautiful girl that we've got. I know you like Rachel better, but that's just not how we do things around here. So I'll let you have Rachel, but you got to make Leah, you got to fulfill her as a wife. You got to honeymoon with her for a week. And then after you fulfill that, then I'll give you Rachel, but you're going to have to work another 7 years. So what he thought was 7 years now turned into 14, and all for the same reward. The goal hasn't changed. The pay hasn't changed. It was for the same opportunity, and that was to marry Rachel. And he looked forward to it, and he wanted to do it. And he served with him. Look at verse 30. He went in also to Rachel after that first week. He loved also Rachel more than Leah and served with him yet 7 other years. So he served a total of 14 years. And we know just by studying beyond this that he served after he had both wives. He served another 6 years. So he was there for a total of 20 years with Laban. Raising a family, raising really two families, if you will. He also had Bilhah, the handmaid. You notice in there, that's been mentioned that verse number 29, Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And verse 24, we've skipped over it. Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. So he's got two wives, and then they've got each got a handmaid. So he's raising two families. What's going to happen is, and just to kind of condense it, because we are going to look at three chapters, Leah starts having babies. And Rachel says, go all the way down to verse number 30, in verse 1, Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. In verse 2, Jacob said, look, it's not my fault. Why are you mad at me? You know, it's so important for us in the events of life and especially the crisis of life not to get mad at the people who are next to us, who have been with us all along. And we do tend to take out our anger and show our frustration toward the people who are closest to us, don't we? And we may be mad at the mailman or the milkman or whoever it is, but we're going to get mad in front of and around our family. I was dealing with a family the other night, and the fiance started getting loud, and I said, whoa, stop. Why are you mad at me? I didn't start this. I'm here to help. But that's what we have to remind and just settle people down. Look, hey, this is not my fault. I did not create this. I'm here. I'm on your side. And that's something we need to remember as a church. But we're on the same side. We got the same goal. We want to do the same thing. How many of you are working to go to heaven? Don't raise your hand. All right? Don't raise your hand. All right? But how many of us are working so that other people can go to heaven? Yeah, because I already know I'm going. My name's already written there. I've already got an address. I don't know what it is, but I've already got a place reserved. And that's my place because God knows I'm going. But I want other people to go with me. First and foremost, my family, of course, all of them being saved, even Ben, all the way down, everybody saved. And Ben's been wanting to get baptized. I've been holding him off just a little bit, but he's ready. And so my family, first and foremost, get my family saved. Hey, I'm glad they are. I want them all to go to heaven. Sometimes I want them to go to heaven right now. No, that's just a joke. I love my kids. They're good kids. They're good kids. They really are. Do a good job. So we get our family saved, then we want our friends to get saved, then we want our strangers to get saved. But we got to work on people getting saved. That's why we're here, to help people understand how to get to heaven. That's all we do is give directions. Look, we don't push them there. We don't drag them there. We just tell them how to get there. If we'll just do that, boy, what a difference we'd make. If we'll just tell them how. And so, anyway, getting back to this, Jacob was upset because Rachel was upset. Neither one of them caused the problem. You understand? Sometimes problems are just in our lives. Verses 1 through 5. So what did Rachel do? She said, well, take my maid and have a baby with her. Right? The sin of Abraham. Same thing Abraham went through with Sarah. And now what's happened? He's doing the same thing. He's now renewing the sin of his grandfather. Making the same mistakes. We go on down to verse number 25. The 20 years is complete. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me, and you see, we're at Joseph. So you do understand what that means. All these other kids have been born now. Okay, so all these other children have been born, and now it came to pass Rachel had borne Joseph. Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place, to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. So he's ready to move on. Jacob wanted freedom from Laban. Verse 27, do you have it marked in your Bible? Tell me if you have it marked. Yes? It's a good verse, isn't it? Look at how powerful this is. And this is rich. This is something that everybody who gets around us should be able to say about us. Our family ought to look to us and say, you know what I believe? I believe God blesses me because I'm in your home, because you're my husband, because you're my wife, whatever it might be. I believe God blesses me on your account. We know that God blesses them because of Abraham. And now Laban says in verse 27, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Oh, that's great. Wow, that's incredible. I want God to bless me, and I want my children to realize that they are blessed because God is blessing me. And when they move on and have their own homes and their own families, I want them to be a blessing to their families. Some of you grew up in homes where the father did not receive the blessings of heaven, where the family had to overcome the obstacles because they weren't receiving blessings from heaven. Because they were not in the favor of God. Because they weren't serving God. And if there's anything, look, wherever we work, every organization we're part of, every church that we, excuse me, that we ever belong to, excuse me, ought to see God's favor in our lives. We ought to be an asset to every organization we join. Look, if you don't have anything to contribute, why are you becoming a part of it? We should never be dead weight on any organization. Any. We should never drag and be an anchor to any organization. We should always contribute something. And some would say, well, Pastor, what do I have to contribute? You know, if you'll think about it, you have a lot to contribute. We've got people in this church, they may not build things, but they pray and they give and they encourage. And you know, that's a lot. We need that. But then there are those who also build and do the work and are active. And I think it's important to show up. Don't you think it's important to show up? So we need to be part of it. We need to be contributing something everywhere we go. The Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Verse number 28. He said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. So he says, please stick around. Just tell me what it's going to cost me and I'll pay it. That's blessed, isn't it? If somebody is that big of an asset to your company, that they're really bringing something to the table. Name your price, he said. I'll give it to you. And don't we see that a lot in Scripture? Don't we see that over and over in Scripture? What was Daniel? Daniel was the second. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, well, Pastor, you said that Daniel was the second in command over the whole country. But you see, he was only one of three presidents. And all three of them had the ear of the king. They all three had the opportunity to give their counsel. And that's the reason that when Daniel wasn't even present, the king went along with the other two. And actually passed a law against Daniel. So Daniel was in favor. What about Joseph? We get to Joseph. Wasn't he in favor? Yes, he was in favor. All these people throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God shows favor to them and they rise to the top. Verse 29, he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. It was little which thou hadst before I came. It has now increased a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? Verse 31, Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. You see, he's saying, look, this is not a negotiation. You cannot buy me. I can't stay here forever. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So give me space. Let me go out on my own. And that was a negotiation. He wanted to get away from the family. Now what we are not going to read, but it's covered from verse 30 to verse 43. And you can go read it at home, please. What happens in these next 14 verses here is Jacob takes Laban's flock and herds and he goes out. And he starts to build this empire. Well, he's still working for Laban. And so all this empire still belongs to Laban. They've divided some, and so you get these and I get those. But here's what happened. Jacob started really paying attention to his own benefit, to his own profits. And what was Laban's, he had let them, the sick ones, and he had give him what was left over. You know, you got to be careful about somebody who stops looking at the profit of the company, the organization, the benefit of the organization, and starts looking at themselves. Hey, what do I get out of this? I'm going to tell you something. The minute that you as a church member or I as a pastor, and we're all equal, we're all church members here, the minute that any one of us begins to look at this church and say, what do I get out of it, it's time for that one to go. We are all here to serve. We're here to serve God, here to serve each other. And if you ever, now look, I intend to pastor until the boys will be the only ones left when I leave. But I plan to pastor here until they carry me in a box. Okay? That's just really how it is. But if you ever are a member of a church and that pastor starts to get green-eyed and starts to get fidgety in his fingers, want more money. Look, it's one thing to not have your needs, man. I believe we ought to take care of our pastor, and you do. I'm not preaching to you for your pastor here. But I believe our pastor ought to be taken care of. He ought not to be poor. And he needs to be blessed. He needs to be favored. He needs to be able to take care of his family, not worry about money. But for a pastor to start getting greedy and stop leaning on God and stop trusting God, it's time for him to go. And I'll tell that to pastors and preachers, and they might not like it. I know they don't, because I've talked to them about it. They lose the concept of trusting God when it comes to money. And that's a problem. Jacob, in these 14 verses, turned his attention away from serving Laban. And he started turning his attention to serving Jacob. And everything changed. Everything changed, and you'll notice here in verse number... Chapter 31 and verse 1. He heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. So now, you see what's happened? Because Jacob is focusing on himself, because Jacob is focusing on his own profits and not trying to work for the company and not trying to build Laban's empire, but he's working on building his own now. His loyalty has shifted. The sons notice there's a shift in loyalty. The sons notice there's a shift in his work ethic, in his faithfulness, and also his appreciation. Verse 2, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So things changed. Laban started looking at Jacob a little bit differently, didn't he? He started saying, something's wrong here. You see that attitude shift? I don't know if you've ever worked with people or managed people or worked in a company, but I've seen it. You can tell something's changed. You can tell their loyalty's shifted, and they start looking. They don't look at you in the eye anymore. Their countenance changes. And Jacob's countenance changed, and guess what? So did Laban's. Laban said, I don't trust him anymore. And you know why? He wasn't trustworthy. He wasn't trustworthy. He was cheating the system. And so that's what happens. And so his attitude changed, and Laban's attitude changed. And Jacob was already wanting to leave. He was already wanting out of there. So there was a shift in the whole atmosphere and the relationship. In verse number 4, Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance. It's not towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And he goes on to tell them, hey, look, I've worked here, I've been faithful, I've done everything I can, and I, you know, your dad doesn't like me anymore, and I can't change that. But here's what he said. He said, I've had a vision from God, and God's shown me that I need to start working, we need to start working our escape, and I've been following God's plan, and it's time for us to get out of here. And so now these daughters are thinking, well, now we're leaving with our husband. Again, remember, this is 6 years into the marriage. They've been married now for a while. It might take, 6 years. They're moving along. All these children. And Jacob says it's time to go. And so Rachel goes back in there. And she took some idols out of Laban's house. Verse 14, Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Hold on a second. Wait, stop. Y'all are married. Y'all ever have to remind your children they got married and moved out? Y'all don't live here anymore. So you married someone. It's their responsibility to take care of you now. I know, and I'm saying that with tongue in cheek, but once these girls are still wanting a part of the past. They're still wanting to be daughters and not wives. And I know you say, well, I'm still a daughter. I know, I get it. I remember a story of a woman. These are my friends, and she was telling me this story. She says she left her husband one time. And she got home, and she went to grab the door, and her mom opened the door and says, what are you doing? She said, I'm moving back in. She said, no, you're not. She said, well, I don't want to be married. He said, well, did he hit you? No. Well, why? I just can't live with him. He said, well, you married him. Take your bag and go home. And she did. and they, you're married until she passed away, and you know, so they lived out their days together. But what her mama was saying is, you're not my daughter, you're his wife. Now, don't play with, you know what I'm saying. There's responsibility and there's right. And she sent him home. She sent her home. And these girls are still wanting to stay home and be daughters. But they're supposed to grow up and be wives. Verse 19, Laban went to shear his sheep. Rachel had stolen the images that were her father. She went into his home or his sanctuary, and she stole idols, false gods that he would have worshipped. I want you to think about this. The religion that her father practiced and worshiped these idols that somebody made or he bought somewhere has allowed him to cheat her husband for 20 years, to be a cheater and a liar and an abuser. That's the religion of her father. The religion of her husband has poured out blessings from heaven, success. And now she's going back to the religion of her father and saying, I want some of this. Is that crazy? It's crazy to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. She's hanging on to the religion of her youth. I want you to know something. I know that there are a lot of people that come to our church, and I met somebody yesterday, not at church, but was talking about faith, and he grew up in another religion. But he said, then I started going to church with my wife and this pastor over here in this Baptist church. And he said, it was so different. And it was so good. So why then would he go back to the old way? Why then would he go back to the old faith? Just because it was the faith of his youth? If it didn't give him what he needed? If it didn't offer salvation? If it didn't offer hope and love and forgiveness? Why go back? And yet here's Rachel trying to hang on to the religion of her youth. Well, what happens? They move on. Jacob gathers in verse number 20, Jacob stole away unaware to Laban the Syrian, and he told him not that he fled. In other words, he is moving. He said, look, we're going to go out a little ways. And in the end, he didn't just go out a little ways. He just kept creeping. He was going to Canaan. He was going back home. Somebody told Laban, he's gone. He's gone. He's taken your stuff. Laban realizes that his idols are gone, his gods that he worshipped in his little chapel. And so they went out there. They were going to find them. They were going to hunt them down. They were going to bring them back. Now, verse number 26, Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword. Exaggerated a little bit, didn't he? Verse 27, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? And didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp? I would have thrown a great big party if I'd known you were leaving. Y'all ever know somebody that you want to leave so bad you'd have thrown them a great big party if they'd go away? And he said, I would have thrown a great big party. Now look, let's be honest. Laban has had a bad attitude toward Jacob. And the last thing Jacob thought Laban would do is celebrate him. He thought what he might do is slit his throat, but he never did think he would throw him a party. And so he got on his way, and now Laban's caught up to him, and he said, verse 28, you've not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake to me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. God told Laban, leave him alone. Is that what he did? No, not what he did at all. Why? Because he's still worshiping dumb little idols that hang up on a shelf. He knows the power of God. He knows that God can get his message through, and yet he disobeys. He trespasses. And Jacob said, well, I was scared. Laban says, you stole my gods. And Jacob says, what do I have to do with your gods? They aren't gods, they're just toys. Why would I care? Why would I want them? Verse 32, with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let them not live before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen. He says, wherever you find them, kill the person that took them. What does that teach us? Be careful what we say, huh? It's harsh. And we see that over and over in the Old Testament. Every time somebody spoke harshly, it came back to bite them. Be careful what we say hastily. And so, it goes on and tells that Rachel was in her tent. She was sitting on top of, she had hidden them underneath her. She was sitting on top of them. And she said, excuse me for not getting up. I'm not well. You can read it. You know what it says. And so they didn't find them. And they didn't find them, and they said, well, okay, so you didn't steal them. All right, well, they're missing, but I guess you didn't do it. So let's do this. Let's have a party, and let's establish a boundary here, a memorial that says that God is witness between me and you, that I will not come across this line to do you harm, and you will not come across this line to do me harm. And they had a big party, and everybody was happy. A covenant for peace. That was the agreement that they made there. It's, I don't know about you, I don't know how often you read through the Bible, I don't know how long it's been since you've rehearsed and looked at these events, but I love it every time I read it. It's exciting stuff. It's good stuff. It's real stuff. You know, people say, oh, the Bible's fake. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it was fake, they wouldn't waste as much time with all these details, would they? I mean, this is real stuff. This is historical fact. And it's useful. It's useful to us because we can learn so much from it. Let's stand.